fresh off the community coffee. Great to have that back. Of course, not the last Friday as it usually has been, but questions, obviously, they want to know about the community plan.
Well, it was really great to be back having a community coffee at the Hudson Library. It's been about 14 months since we stopped having the coffee, so it was great to have a good crowd of people there drinking coffee, having some refreshments that were provided by the Highlands Biological Foundation, and the library is always a great host for this event. So it was good to see old friends and citizens come and participate in this process.
And what are some of the questions? VRBO, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, the focus of this coffee was the Highlands Community Plan. I asked Josh Ward, our town manager, to come and do a presentation. I asked Michael Mathis, our assistant town planner, to come and also make a presentation. Josh kind of reviewed the process and the need to have a community plan. All municipalities are expected to have a completed comprehensive plan in place by July of next year. We're ahead of that requirement. Michael touched on all the major concepts. And yes, Steve, you are exactly right. A lot of people were concerned about short-term rentals and the issues related to short-term rentals. I tried to encourage people not to just focus on short-term rentals because there are some other parts of the plan that need to be addressed also. There are some people that would like to, for example, see us ban short-term rentals in the R1 area, and they make a great case. Some of the people came and talked about situations where people are having 16 people in one house and 11 cars, and they had to call the police because cars were in the street. Heard from those folks. And then we kind of all reviewed some of the possibilities and options. One of the things that Josh and I really emphasized was that the state is involved in this process too, and we have to try to keep up with what the state legislation and requirements are and be compliant with those issues, which are kind of cloudy and unclear at this point in time. This is something that I think the board will address very quickly as we move toward the adoption of the community plan. I was trying to explain to people we cannot solve it at the coffee, but certainly input is appreciated and needed. The board will have to finally review the issue and come up with ordinances or policies that they want to see the staff implement. It will be a complex process. Clearly, short-term rentals is very at the top of the list of concerns that people have in the community. Many of these people that come to my coffees are either full-time residents or they are seasonal residents. And this balance between the tourist economy and the full-time resident, that is an issue that's alive and well. And some of the folks were expressing the concern that maybe we have reached a point of over-tourism and an overemphasis on bringing in tourists. It's a very difficult issue because, of course, there are economic implications, but there are also quality of life issues in recreation and where we go from here. And I think the community plan will be a good guiding roadmap as the board looks down the road and into the future on these kind of critical issues.
Especially as people escape the big cities and they're trying to have a better quality of life here, but all of a sudden then everything gets stressed.
One of the things that Michael Mathis showed us was from the community plan, experts and leaders created a map of future development in Highlands. If the town were to expand, which way would it go? And it's northward, out 64, toward the hospital and toward Cashers. One of the reasons is, if you look at the east and the west, we are bordered by U.S. Forest Service land. If you look at the south, same thing for the most part. So there would be some opportunities for town expansion if you go northward. What are the issues involved in that with providing water and sewer? I pointed out that you'd have to have voluntary annexation. The old days of a town just going in and saying you're being annexed, no questions asked, that's long gone, especially with the state legislature. So there are a lot of issues that would have to be carefully addressed if we were to decide as a community that the town should expand expand out into the northern areas of the county.
I know there are 23 acres of flat mountain that could be developed, and if somebody wants to buy that. But boy, this reminds me of when I got here at ETJ, and that was some pretty heated conversations.
ETJ is kind of a related topic. A previous town board, after approving ETJ, removed it. I think it would be very difficult to reestablish ETJ, which I favored on the corridors coming into the town, but I don't know that that would be an easy task to achieve given this point in time. Many of them can be developed without water and sewer. Other people would like to see us run water and sewer. And some of the people in the audience who are permanent residents here who don't have sewer, they were raising their hands saying, but what about us? We don't have sewer at this time, but you'd be willing to just run it out to people that haven't been in the town paying taxes? That was a fair point that they made. And one of the reasons we haven't been able to fully sewer the town has been the cost issues related to having to drill through areas of dense rock. It would cost millions upon millions of dollars. But that is a conversation that we probably need to have in relation to our community plan and future expansion.
Great to see that the paving project almost complete, and the completion was the striping of the white lines and the double yellow lines. The crews were here.
They were here at the end of the week, going through traffic at the same time, putting down the striping on the road. There's more of that to be done. We're waiting for the state to come at the intersection at Satula South and 28. We met with them, their traffic engineers, and they're going to make some modifications to that intersection in the way of striping. And at the same time, we are in the process of making some changes on South and Satula that would be in concert with improving that intersection. Some people have been concerned about some of the problems they've noticed on that intersection. Given those minor problems, I think we've really improved the functionality of that intersection.
Less thinking, better driving, better choices.
And everybody, of course, being very aware of their situation when they're driving, looking both ways when you come to a complete stop at a stop sign. We had an accident this week. Fortunately, no one lost their life. And I hope everybody will stand back and think about this. We have a lot of people now in town this time of year. And out on Bowery Road, someone was going down the road, lost control, hit one of our utility poles, snapped it in two, shut the power down in that area immediately. The good news was that driver was not seriously injured. The bad news is that we're vulnerable to that, especially if people aren't driving safely, to where we can have our electrical grid knocked out just by someone that's not using safe driving practices. Our first responders, our police immediately responded. Our electric crew was there right on the scene to begin restoring the power. But when you lose a utility pole, it almost guarantees that somebody's going to be out of power. And also, it's going to take some time to restore the power because that pole has to be reset, a new pole, and then all of the fixtures have to be attached. So our town workers really work fast to get power back up.
Speaking of more people being attracted to this area, hot wire is going to attract people. They need that. Newspapers covered that the hot wire contract near ready. Sign-ups to follow.
It's near ready. I think it's at hand. As we say, we hope we'll start that review process at the next board meeting. We've been working on this project for 6 years. It's time to get hot wire on board, signing up people and hooking them up, since they will be leasing that dark fiber. The town will be using that whole network also as a way of developing a smart city where we can monitor better things like utilities, consumption of water. And it's going to be a win-win, I think, for everyone. And it's time now to move forward. Now, I've heard a lot about a grant, like the county just approved a grant for broadband access. I've heard the thing about Elon Musk, and that's coming. And then another company, the state has given them money to put in broadband in rural areas in Macon County and so forth. That's wonderful. I'm glad they're doing it. But the caveat is this. It will still take time. For example, the company that got the grant to put in the broadband, they have 6 years to fulfill that obligation. We have been working on this slowly but surely. with some missteps, yes, but we've been working on it 6 years. We're ready to flip the switch. In my opinion, it is long overdue. We need to provide choices for folks as to how they want to access their critical broadband network.